TMZ. Zoom in, get a good look. Yeah, it's me. Know where the fuck I'm from?
We don't play.
Yo. I'm reppin' LG and I'm the next great heavyweight. About to be the champ, nigga, every weight never safe. Level of potential, damn near out of space. About to skip the nigga who next, and I bet he wait. Ready for whatever, I'm coming fully equipped. About to show him I can spit, drop me a few hits. I think big, I just extended the clip. Yeah, we might party, but we will get on some bullshit. I thought I told you buffoons to stay tuned. I know I kept saying soon, they say I'm a late bloom. Gave it a little gas, I got him smelling in the fumes, blew past, now your career in the rear like views. First thing you learn soon as you step out the womb is rep your hood until you go to the tomb. Gotta tidy up the game, suggesting you make room, cause I'm about to make a clean sweep like a broom. I know you wonder why he acting like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off, honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. Yeah. You should never bite the hands that feed you, and I don't know who running that feast, but I wanna eat too. I came through, stole the shine like a thief do. Now the honeys wanna lock me down like police do. Why your face all in my book? Oh, you can read too. Crowd in my space, fake friends so see-through. My man Mano told me how I should greet you. First I say hi, wave bye, then delete you. You not impressed, but I promise you'll be amazed. With the bins, with the rims, a year over legal age. It's Avatar Blue and they finding it kinda strange that when the sun shines, every time it move, the color change. It's Baker, and I've been on a steady grind. BK all day, Empire State of Mind. I hope you reppin' yours just like I be reppin' mine. Having trouble understanding, rewind it a few times. I know you wonder why he actin' like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off, honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I don't give a fuck if I've been gone for a while, it's like I did a bid right after I blew trial. I kill haters, dump the bodies in the pal, and my only two weapons is a high and a smile. Was given a few chances, made it all good across big bodies of water, reppin' my hood. Real niggas show love just like I knew that they would, and the ones who said I couldn't do it wishing that they could. They wanna get me out the game cause they mad, tryna say I'm taking performance enhancers for the swag. I laugh while I'm shopping for body bags, but I think it's kinda sad, a few toes need tags. I got riches now, came up out the rags. My life's so fab, I just throw it in the bag. They kicked me when I was down, even throwing a few jabs. If you didn't fuck with me, bet now you're wishing you had. I know you wonder why he acting like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off, honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn.
It's the 10 crack commandments, why? Man, can't tell me nothing about this coke. Can't tell me nothing about this crack, this weed, my hustling niggas. Niggas on the corner, I ain't forget you niggas. My triple B niggas. I've been in this game for years. It made me an animal, it's rules to this shit. I wrote me a manual, a step-by-step booklet for you to get your game on track, not your wig pushed back. Rule number uno, never let no one know how much dough you hold, cause you know the cheddar breed jealousy, especially if that man fucked up. Get your ass sucked up. Number two, never let them know your next move. Don't you know bad boys move in silence and violence? Take it from your honest. I done squeezed mad clips at these cats for they bricks and chips. Number three, never trust nobody. Your mama set that ass up, properly gassed up, hoodie the mask up. For that fast buck, she be laying in the bushes to light that ass up. Number four, know you heard this before. Never get high on your own supply. Number five, never never show no crack where you rest at. I don't care if they want an ounce, tell them bounce. Number six, that goddamn credit, get it. You take a crackhead paying your back, shit, forget it. Seven, this rule is so underrated. Keep your family and business completely separated. Money and blood don't mix like two dicks and no bitch. Find yourself in serious shit. Number eight, never keep no weight on you. Them cats that squeeze your guns can hold jumps too. Number nine should have been number one to me. If you ain't getting bad, say the fuck with police. If niggas think you're snitching, they ain't trying to listen. They be sitting in your kitchen, waiting to start hitting. Number 10, a strong word called consignment. Strictly for live men, not for freshmen. If you ain't got the clientele, say hell no. Cause they gon' want their money, rain, sleet, hell no. Follow these rules, you have mad bread to break up. If not, 24 years on the wake up. Slug hit your temple, watch your frame shake up. Caretaker did your makeup. When you pass, your girl fuck my man Jacob. Heard in 3 weeks, she sniffed a whole half a cake up. Heard she suck a good dick and could hook a steak up. Gotta go, more pies to bake up. Word up, Crack King, Frank Wizard.
What's up, folks? It's your girl, Ab, and you're listening to Pre-Game Radio. It is August 8th, 2014, and the time is now 10:23. It is Saturday evening. I want to give a shout-out to my Aunt Laverne Settle in Virginia, a.k.a. Big Skinny, as she's known throughout the family. I want to definitely give her a shout-out today. It's her birthday. She's down there. She done cooked out. She grilled. They partying. They hanging out. I can't get nobody on the phone. This is ridiculous. But I definitely wanted to wish her a very happy birthday and many more. And that I love you, Aunt Vern. Big Skinny. I also have a little sad news. Our esteemed founder and president of Pre-Game Radio, Brooklyn Black, was released from the hospital yesterday after a 10-day stay, for those of you that didn't know. And he had to be rushed back to the hospital this morning. So we want to send him well wishes. We also want to let him know to, you know, get your mind right, son. You know, don't let it have you. You're supposed to have it. Whatever this it is, this shit out. This don't make sense. You know, you're too young. You need to get back on your feet and remain healthy. That's why, folks, it's important to take care of yourself and of your body. This is the same body that you have young that you're going to have as you get older. And when you get older, things happen. You may not be aware of it now, but things happen. So to prevent these things from crippling us or stifling us or preventing us from living and enjoying our lives to the fullest, we have to take care of ourselves now. Okay, Black, I know you're listening. I'm not pressing one because I don't want to talk to you right now. But I will press one for Baltimore Sun, who is on the line as we speak. Hey, Baltimore, what's up?
What's good? What's good?
Nothing much. You see here, I'm at the helm of the show. You know, Black is back in the hospital. I don't even know if you – did I get a chance to tell you that? I didn't tell you, did I?
No, I just found out just now. I didn't know that he had came home.
Yeah, nah, he came home, you know, he came home yesterday. He seemed to be in good spirits. He was moving around. And, you know, then after a while, things just started to go downhill from there. I think what he did was he probably exerted himself too much, considering the fact that just a week ago, you know, he couldn't move his left leg. He couldn't move his left side. He was technically paralyzed, you know, temporarily.
Right.
So, and for him to, you know, try to do a whole bunch of walking and moving around and his usual, you know, trying to do his usual maneuvering, he just couldn't do it. So they took his toll on him. It was too soon. You know, I understand him wanting to hurry up and get back in, but, you know, it makes sense to let your body heal first, you know, before you try to step back into what you was doing. You know, but so let me ask you, are you happy that football season is upon us?
Yeah, no doubt. I'm ready to see the, you know, I'm ready to see the Ravens, you know, try to take home that, you know, that Super Bowl trophy.
That's all, you know, that's what's up. I honestly believe that they could pull it. They could do it this year. They could do it this year. Look, now, being that I am from New York, you already know who my team is. You already know. But
the Jets.
We not, huh?
The Jets.
No, the Giants.
No, I'm just messing with you.
So you stupid, the Jets. That was funny. But, you know, I'm looking forward to this being an exciting football season, you know. And since we're talking about football, you know, we haven't really had a chance to touch upon some serious issues here at Pregame. You know, we like to keep everyone up to date and in the know about what's going on in your neighborhood and in the world. So with football season upon us, what do you think of, what's this guy's name, Ray Rice? The one that knocked out his wife in the elevator, and it was caught on camera, and I believe he only got a suspension for 2 games or something like that, to that effect?
Yeah, 2 games.
I don't have any access to the story at this moment, but I'm just going off from what I remember. So how do you feel about that? You know, as a man, you know, what do you think about, I know you saw the video. So
yeah, but
your,
I mean, like unless they have another tape that they saw that we didn't see, you don't actually see him striking her. You know what I'm saying? So it just left up to your own interpretation of what happened. You see him dragging her off the elevator and everything. So legally, you know what I mean, as far as, like, the legal standpoint, I don't know what they really could have did to him unless, you know, he just confessed. I think he actually said he hit her or something like that. Yeah, in those two games, he lose, like, I think he lose, like, 500,000. But me, personally, I don't think that a dude should be putting his hands on a woman. You know, I got a whole bunch of women in my family, and I know how he would have got dealt with if
right.
that was a chick in my family. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
at the same time, females got to realize, too, that not all dudes have the same mentality. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, nah, I don't know what happened, like, the whole situation, if she hit him first or what happened. But, you know, when women put their hands on men, they got to expect that a man might hit them back. You know what I'm saying? Cause
right.
You know, some dudes that rock like that. Not me.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking, I'm the type of person, even if a chick in my family hits you and you hit her back, you're going to get dealt with, and then I'll talk to her later about keeping her hands to herself, you know what I mean? But
right.
I just think, like, I mean, if he didn't do any jail time, then I don't see what else the NFL could have did to him, because it wasn't even football-related, and it had nothing to do with his job.
Right.
You
well,
know, so
you know,
I was like...
You...
Okay. No, I was just thinking, like, I don't know if it was the correct punishment, or if it should have been more. Like, I don't know.
Well, from what I understand, and you know, just from off the rip, what's crazy is people are so upset and up in arms about what he did, which was wrong. You know, don't get me wrong; I'm definitely not in support of a man raising his hands to a female, but
right.
She turned around and married him anyway. She turned
exactly.
around and married
so why should
him anyway.
We be mad if she not?
Right,
right,
more or less.
And not only
know,
that,
but
it's a lot of these women out here saying Ray Rice this, that. They getting smacked around by dudes who ain't got no money every day and they ain't doing nothing there, so.
True indeed. That's a great point.
You know what I'm saying? But
point.
They can always tell somebody else what they should do or what should happen. You know what I mean? Dudes going upside their head all the time, and they ain't doing nothing. They ain't even calling their cousins or nothing, their
right.
uncles or nothing.
Well, from a business standpoint, I can see, I can understand that the NFL is trying to uphold a certain image,
right.
And there are certain things that they're just not willing to tolerate. Because it does,
right.
you know, put a blemish on their establishment, and on the organization as a whole. So,
right.
you know, they have to, you know, more or less to keep faith, they have to deal with these situations. Even if it's something from his personal life, he's an entertainer, he's a football player, he's in the spotlight, you know, he's generating, he's being paid millions of dollars, he has sponsorships, you know, I mean, he has things going on that basically he's a brand. He's a brand
very
within
true.
A brand. You know, he's a brand within a brand. So in order to protect the brand that he is under, the umbrella of the brand he's under, they have to deal with situations like that. For instance, you know, at your job, I don't know about your job in particular, but some jobs, they have it where, you know, if you have personal issues like, say, you know, you're having trouble mentally, they'll pay for you to take time off from the job. You know, you get to see a counselor, a therapist, or whatever. They'll pay for it, and you'll be able to leave, you know, work early, 2 days a week, so on and so forth, and it's all covered and it's all good. Now, your
right.
personal issue, your mental issue has nothing, you know, your job ain't got nothing to do with that. But because you work for them and because you're under that coverage, they have to afford you some type of you know, they have to afford you some type of luxury, just as if you were to do something, they would have to, you know, they would have to also discipline you.
Right.
You know, if you show up the job drunk or high, I mean, come on, you know, they got
right.
to
that's true. But,
to everybody
people,
else.
A lot of people
know?
Don't realize, too, like, you know, the NFL, like, these sports are like corporations, so a lot of times they gotta try to stick within, like, you know, like if Ray Rice had went to jail or did something, then I believe that his punishment from the NFL would have been harsher. You know what I'm saying? But it was like if they punish him too hard, then they might stand the lawsuit from him. You know what I mean? So they gotta kind of like, well, we gotta do something. We can't not do nothing, but then we can't go overboard with it neither. You know what I mean? So, you know, $500,000 is a lot of money just even thinking about it. But, you know, hopefully he don't repeat it and he don't put his hands on another woman again. And if he do, then hopefully she gets that handled. I'm like Stephen A. Smith. You know what I'm saying? Everybody talking about what he said. All he did was keep it real.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you, definitely. I'm hoping that he definitely learned his lesson. I'm hoping
the first-time offender. He ain't never been in trouble since he's been in the NFL. He do a lot of charity work and everything, mm-hmm. so they probably took all of that into consideration as well.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean?
And
that
if
I
he
noticed,
played anything like he did last year, they should have suspended him for the whole damn season because he stunk the joint up.
Right. I think personally that two games, you know, they could have made it for maybe three or four. I mean, regardless of the fact that she may have put her hands on the first, regardless of the fact that she may have, married him after everything happened, still, you really do have to send a message. And what I find to be quite odd is that there were more people in favor of him not receiving any punishment at all, but these were the same people I noticed that hated Chris Brown. They hated Chris Brown for what happened between him and Rihanna. And if you ask me, I believe Rihanna was whipping his ass. That's why he had to turn around and bite
like
her.
Paul Mooney said,
you don't bite. A motherfucker does not bite you until you just got them and there's, like, no other way for them to get out of it.
Like,
okay,
Paul Mooney said, you bite when you're scared. You don't just beat somebody. You don't just beat somebody's ass and then you just bite them. He said, no, you bite because you're scared. You're trying to get somebody up off you.
That's right. So that shit is crazy. But we want to get into another joint real quick. I'm not following the usual, you know, the usual protocol, which is to play the throwbacks and, you know, we have our guests and we get to the news and stuff. I'm probably not going to do the show for the full 2 hours length. We'll probably just rock out till around 11, a little bit after. But for now, I'm just going to throw on some other stuff real quick. Do you have a request? Anything in particular you would like to hear?
I can't even think of nothing offhand. I was over here jamming to that Chase Baker joint, though. I ain't heard that I'm so Brooklyn joint forever.
Oh, I know, right? Well, listen, it's been a minute. Look, we just played it, so you know I'm not going to play it again. But,
I was just saying, like, you took me back when you was playing that. No, that's what I'm saying. When I came in, it was on, so I was like, dang, I ain't heard this joint in a minute.
Tell me what's up. Well, I usually give Black the evening's throwbacks, and it's up to him to go and, you know, get the music, download it, bring it to the library on the show. But as I said, since he, you know, he's out and he's sick and there's no one else here to step into those shoes, we just going to have to just wing it. So this is what I'm going to do. You know, I'm actually in the studio on my iPad. So being that it's a touch screen, I'm just going to hit the screen and swipe up, right? And whatever song we land on, that's the joint that I'm playing. All right? So you
That'll
ready?
Work. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm hitting the screen. I'm swiping up. And it's moving, slow wind. Ah, you're not going to believe this. Next up, Baltimore Sun. Do it for hip hop.
shit. We done been through a lot,
been through a lot,
seen a lot,
seen a lot.
I know we got a lot more to go through and see. We all say we represent Hillside, man, but do we really mean it?
I know I do,
know I do.
I reminisce on when in depth I learned how to write. It started out as a light and it turned into life. I touched down in Japan in 2003, 2004. I met Focus and Lee. Was hopeless, pinning my dreams on these sheets, but wasn't seen as the heat. I know why, cause I was fiending for beats. The bull crap and the bragger raps left it behind. Truth be told, I just started perfecting my rhymes. Man, who's next in the line? I don't mess with my mind. It's the Baltimore Sun, so I'm destined to shine. I made my name on this rhyme without testing my nine. Nobody in their right mind would ever step to my kind. I'm from a city and a state that is underrated. Saying my bars is nice, understatement. I know that some are haters when they play this, cause I don't trap a swag. I'm a true MC, I don't rap for the fad. My man, in the new year, let's take it to the tip top. Like to see your head nod to let me know my hits rock. The sun will never flip flop, to never say I went pop. Everything I do it for hip hop. And now I'm rocking from the hooks to the balls. Came from nothing, now look, I'm a star. The crooks in the bars, cause see, I never went pop. Everything I do it for hip-hop. For fame, I never act strange, change or switch. I got a family, my health, I'm sane, I'm rich. So I can care less about dollars and cents. Ice around the chain, nectar, even my wrist. Been through a little and it's seen a lot more. It made you more raw with the meanest hot bars. Love, but when I'm gone, I might mean a lot more. Cause my mom raised a legend like a Feeny shot call. I'm finally realizing what it means to shock y'all. When I drop balls, I stop y'all like the scene is blocked off. I know you might be thinking y'all have seen them pop off, but I'm shining over negativity. My pops gone. I value life now. The music is all in the mix. Rappers are not true hip-hop. Stop calling them this. I'm new to tell you they ain't heard a truer artist do it harder than this. I'm just a part of the fix for real. In the new year, let's take it to the tip top. Like to see your head nod to let me know my hits rock. The sun will never flip-flop. Can never say I went pop. Everything I do it for hip-hop. And now I'm rocking from the hooks to the balls. Came from nothing, now look, I'm a star. The crooks in the balls. Cause see, I never went pop. Everything I do it for hip-hop.
Baltimore, son.
Baltimore, son.
Your girl Evan, you're listening live to Pre-Game Radio, August 8th, 2014. Time is now 10:41, and you just were listening to Baltimore Sun. I do it for hip hop, which is definitely one of my favorite of your joints. Well, I'm afraid to even say favorite because you know I just dig a lot of your stuff. And let me let you know, this last one, for some odd reason, and this is what's so crazy, is this is a recent joint of yours. And when I say recent, I say within the last 4 years. This is a joint you put out. But it makes me feel nostalgic. You know, that's what's so crazy. You dig? Was that the goal you were aiming for when you put this out?
Definitely was. Like, I just want, like, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to feel like, yo, I really mean what I'm saying. And this, you know, music make me feel, you know what I mean? So it definitely was intended to have that effect.
Well, it, you know, you definitely had the formula right with that because, and that's what was so, that's what was killing me. And I'm like, is it his flow? Is it what he's saying? Or the music? Or is the combination of everything that really has me, you know, really feeling nostalgic for a minute? You know, I was sitting here and I saw myself in my Adidas tracksuit with my Kangaroo and my Gazelles. I swear to you, I just had a flashback like that. Especially because, let me tell you, one of those famous things you say in this song that just like, you know, just does it for me. and it's like you you like nobody in their right mind would step to my kind. You that yo, that says a lot. That says a lot. Like you gotta be really off your rocker to even come at me with some bullshit. And that yo, that is the essence. Yo, that's the essence of hip hop. Come on. That was a challenge, and somebody was supposed to step up to that challenge and be like, oh, this nigga think I ain't in, you know what, I ain't in my right mind, and I'm going to step to this dude. That's what makes for good music.
Right, like,
you know
yo, must be crazy. You just heard what I said, right? You must be crazy.
So I got to definitely tell you, see, and this is what music is supposed to do. This is what the culture of hip-hop is supposed to do. It's supposed to make you think. It's supposed to get you hype. As opposed to, you know, make you, it makes you automatically want to be a part. Not this,
right.
This bullshit that's out now. And just speaking of this bullshit, since we're talking about, rap, let's get into these female rappers real quick. What do you think? I know you've heard the snippet that Little Kim did on the Flawless remix on Beyonce's Flawless remix that was originally done with Nicki Minaj. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard that.
Are you serious? You serious?
Yeah, no, I haven't heard it. Like, I stopped checking for all of that stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, listen, no, you. I mean, this is something, this is good for hip-hop. This is good for hip-hop. This is real, like, real old school calling.
Oh, I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, you definitely want to have to. It's a quick snippet, but you
I'm
know,
slipping
people say, you know, people like to always allege that Biggie and Thieves and various other Junior Mafia members, you know, wrote Kim's rhymes for her. You know, my thing is, Big's been dead how many years, and these other cats have not been, you know, on the scene, let's say in the spotlight. Not to say they're not
right.
Behind the scenes doing shit, producing, you know, doing A&R, you know, searching for new talent. But I don't know these things. But, you know, who's writing for her now? You did? Who's writing for her now? Kim has proven to be, you know, one of the top of her game. One of the top
right.
of her game, man.
I'm gonna have to check it, Dang, because
yeah, you definitely won't have to because look, nobody ain't peeped the game. Nobody peeped what happened before Kim came with this Flawless remix, and she even went so far as to because they have like a CD cover of the Flawless remix with Nicki Minaj, and it has like pictures of Beyonce and Nicki Minaj and sort of like the Brady Bunch type. Photo thing with the six kids in the box. So every other picture is a picture of Beyonce and a picture of Nicki and a picture of Beyonce. And it looks like they did it in a photo booth type shit.
Uh-huh.
Well, Kim took out Nicki Minaj's photo and replaced it with her own, okay, when she, you know, she did her little, you know, her little verse. And what's so crazy is that people not realizing how bad a motherfucker Kim is. I'm going to show you how bad Kim is. Nicki was just throwing shade to Iggy Azalea because they were saying Iggy Azalea is the top female, right? After that, in the interim, Remy Ma gets out of jail, heads to the studio. She drops some shit real quick. Kim came in with her little verse for the Flawless remix, and everybody forgot all about those other three chicks.
But the thing
nobody
is, like,
if
Nicki Minaj just rhyme and just came, you know, if she dropped that gimmick, I think she'd be tough because she can spit for real. It's just I can't listen to her with all this fake, this all this cornball stuff that she be doing.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So, whenever she drops something, I don't even listen to it because of her reputation. I'm like, I ain't wasting my time on this crap.
Right, right.
But I think she really can go for real. You know what I mean?
I think she has some potential. And you're right, if she gets rid of the gimmicky part, because people are like, oh, you know, she didn't bite Kim's style. And I had to show people, I had a collage of photos of everything that Nikki's done.
She took that picture with the lollipop?
No, it's more than that. It's a collage. It's a collage of photos of Kim over the course of her career. And everything she's done, Nikki has done the exact same thing.
Oh,
I'm,
word?
I'm gonna
to,
I'm going to go through my photos, and then I'm going to post it on my wall, and I'll tag you in it so that you can see for yourself, like, every gimmick, every little style, everything that Little Kim did, Nikki came right behind her and did it. Little Kim posed with shades on a motorcycle. Nicki Minaj did the same thing. Little Kim, you know, posed, did, you know, the pictures with the green hair. Nicki Minaj did the same thing. Kim posed on an album cover, squatting with her legs open. Nicki Minaj did the same. You know what I'm saying? When you see it, you're going to be like, wow, because it's more than one, two, three, four, or five instances where she has done or copied the exact same thing. And people like to give her props by saying, oh, you know, she didn't bite Kim. She's original. She does all of that. Real talk, if you think about it, one of the first females that was putting sound effects and kooky voices and shit into her raps was Missy. Missy was doing that shit back in the 90s.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Missy was doing that. All that other shit, that wasn't even on her joint. She was on somebody. She was on Gina Thompson's joint when she did
right.
that. So, I mean, for people, so, I mean, you know, to me, maybe she can spit, but like you said, it's like I can't get past the bullshit. I can't get past the fog, the illusion of the gimmick of what she's supposed to be, to actually sit down and be like, all right, let me hear what she got to say. Because I'm going to tell you, that joint she did, that looking ass niggas, niggas hated that. That's the only joint from her I've ever liked.
No, I thought that joint was whack. Actually, she had a song. She had a song that she just put out. Actually, that song was something about the rabbit. The video looked kind of crazy on some other type of symbolism, symbolic stuff that I ain't looked into yet. But she
okay.
was spitting regular on there, and I was like, yo, I was like, this joint sound kind of tough. And she was just spitting regular on it.
Yeah.
That's, like, really the only joint I ever heard from her that I like. And I, like, the only other song I like for her was that joint. What did Drake do the, was Drake on there? Something about
with
last
Drake
forever.
And Wayne?
No, that joint, If This Night Could Last Forever or something.
I only really liked it because
of what she was saying. And I could feel like, yo, you know, we all feel that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to make it to that point where you just want that night to last forever. That's the only reason I like it, as far as the concept and everything.
Right, right. I know which joint she's talking
about.
Yeah, that was a joint too. That look, me neither. And see, this is what I'm saying about
it's
the
crazy. She's supposed to be the
hip-hop.
Hottest chick out, and I don't even know the name of a song.
Basically, I can't name five. I can't name three songs. Of hers. Mind you, she's been out here doing this for a little minute now.
Right.
now. So what does that say about, you know, what does that really say about the longevity? That's the thing. This music being made now is not going to have any longevity. Longevity is the fact that I enjoy and can rock out to music that my grandmother listened to, music that my mother listened to, and then when, you know, my stage, when my generation came along, to our music. That's three generations
right.
of music that I can rock out to, and it's like, after me, it stops. It's like, there's no, it just don't have nothing no more. It don't have nothing that to get you excited about. You know, I think one of the stupidest songs I heard, and I heard these young kids singing it the other day, and I just looked at them, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Shut the fuck up. What's that song, that shit where he's talking about, where the guy's talking about jumping in the pool, you know, jumping in the pool of liquor, and see, that's another thing, I can't even think of it.
Yeah, you know,
I can't even think of it. I jump in the pool. I can't even remember it.
Nah, I don't know what you're talking about.
And then they talking about jumping in the pool full of liquor. What sense does that make? That's just like, do you not think that other people, there's kids listening to you, really, whether you know it or not, there's kids listening to you. So how do you, I just, I'm so disappointed sometimes, and I really listen to the radio. Up here in New York, you know, the popular station is 105, you know, 105.1, and they play the same songs, maybe the same five songs an hour. I'm dead serious. The same five songs an hour, and the music, the quality of music has gone down so much that even the black-owned radio station out here, WBLS, that plays music for the mature crowd, like the 30 and up crowd, 35 and up crowd, even them, I can't even listen to them anymore because first thing in the morning, and we're talking about, you know, I get up in the morning, I turn the radio on, you know, to get us hype, to get going, to get out the door, you know, and I can't even do that anymore because of the content of what's being played. I can't let my child, I have a nine-year-old daughter. I can't listen to this bullshit that they be having out here on the radio. And we're talking about a station that, like I said, is geared toward mature listeners. Okay? Mature listeners. So it's like, wow, how is that so? I remember listening to the radio in the morning and, you know, you just certain things were not played. You didn't hear that shit till 12 o'clock at night, sometimes 2 in the morning. From 2 to 4, 2 to 6 in the morning, you would hear these things. Now, they play this stuff at 7 o'clock in the morning, 6:30 in the morning. This kid's getting ready for school, all types of shit. And it's like, and like I said, none of it is anything of substance. None of it is anything of substance. So, you know, I'm like I said, I'm not trying to be
on my phone. That's all by design. That's how they run the game on us. It's all by design.
Yeah, basically. And I was trying to get snippet of Kim. Also, she put out a joint, and you know what? I haven't heard it yet, but I've seen, you know, the promo for it. I was looking for that as well because I sort of wanted to, like, premiere it on the show, and then we could just discuss it, chop it up about it. But we can probably save that for tomorrow. I'll probably be back to do a show tomorrow. Hopefully Black will be around and he can join us. But if not, you know, we got to carry on. Look, one monkey don't stop no show. So it is what it is. I'm going to continue on with some more throwbacks. Let me see. Let me do the finger swipe. And see where we, you know, we in the B area. We was by you. So let's finger swipe and see where we wind up now. And we are still in the B area, but this is Biggie. And I'm going to play this song and say that I have somebody in mind. And that is all I'm going to say. The rest is none of your business.
Okay. Oh, I like that. You like that?
Here's another one.
And another one.
And another one.
And another one.
Oh. Makes the sex spectacular. Make me lick you from your neck to your back to your shivering, tongue delivering. Chills up that spine, that ass is mine. Skip the wine and the candlelight, no crystal tonight. It's alright with you, we fucking. Deja vu, the blood spark, finger fucking in the park, pissy off Bacardi dog. Remember when I used to play between your legs? You begged for me to stop because you know where it would head. Straight to your mother's bed, not the Marriott. We'd be lucky if we found a spot next to your sister. Damn, I really miss her. Way she used to rub my back when I hit that. Way she used to giggle when your ass would wiggle. Now I know you used to sweet set the Parker Meridian, trip to the Caribbean, but tonight no end. You just shine, I like that waistline. Let me hit that from behind, which wall you wanna climb? My style's genuine, girl, I love you all time. I got you pinned up, with your fucking limbs up. All because you like the way my Benz was rimmed up. Bitch, keep your chin up, please watch me do me nasty. Like it when you make it move fast, mommy. I like it when you throw it on me. No love making, strictly back building. Seasonal, all his hoes go to my door. They go to his flow to fuck some more. So no caviar, shark bar, strictly sex, that's sex to your leftover spaghetti. I know you used to slow CDs and darn peas, but tonight I'll take tracks and six packs while I hit that.
You must be, you must be, you took me, and it's all this money that
you
need.
Can you feel me?
I'm
fucking.
Baker, Ray, Trizzy, Rosé,
Gucci Montana. What up? When you chillin' with the devil, you get to thinking like he do. If life is a living hell, that means I'm resident evil. As long as you keep it real, you know they're paying to see you. But the ones who fabricate it, they find it hard to believe you. Please, I get nothing if I deceive you. The truth always comes to the light, people who see through. One minute you hot as the summer, so they need you. But before you know it, we watching them fall like the leaves do. The game I love is getting weaker by the day. And cause I'm not in the league, don't mean a nigga can't play. This rap shit is just like the NBA. It only took me a year, so now I'm a draft away. I spit that shit that makes the legends wanna stay. Symbolic to whatever inspired Jordan to play. And some of y'all need to be practicing every day. Niggas sounding like the shit that convinced them to walk away. I'm recognizing the look on the vet's face when the rookie get in the game and he quickly numbered his day. Listening to the radio, hoping for a change. I'm waiting for him to see why I'm the one they should play. Shorty said chasing niggas with money is a hobby. She liked the party, so I be calling her Lottie Dottie. She got a little cocky since she added to her body. But it's sad to see a bitch that got it all looking sloppy. Like Whitney right after she got with Bobby. Where the Bonnie's at, I'm about to do a robbery. I need a chick that don't mind holding the shoddy. If you riding for a nigga, then hop your ass in the shoddy. She like the bad boys, Mike Lowry. She ain't used to good niggas, so she treat them like a potty. I remember when her nose was all snotty and her hair was kinda naughty, so her attitude was snotty. It's funny how money can make you change. First you was all plain, now you fly like a plane. Your close people be saying you acting strange. Yeah, the picture might change, but the frame stay the same. You never see pleasure with no pain. And just because it's sunny don't mean it's never gonna rain. You see me shining now cause money ain't a thing. So I ride around and get it while I'm rocking 2 chains. I'ma get me a dashiki as soon as I meet with Nikki. Put it on for New Yiddy like Millie, do it for Philly. Restore the faith in the city that brought you Biggie. I'm hoping somebody pick me like Diddy did it for Frenchie. And if I pull a strap, then I'ma let it go. Just might do some shit like that, you niggas better know. They think I'm on one, but I ain't really though. Cause I ain't fucking with the pill like a Ricky Bro.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Chase Baker, and every Friday night I'm locked in with Brooklyn Black and Tasha B on Pregame Radio. Feel me? Feel me? Feel me? Feel me? Feel me? Feel me?
Welcome back, Pregame Radio 347-857-4302. You're rocking out with your girl Eb and Baltimore Sun, and we have another caller on the line. 347 is the first three. Last four digits is 716. Nine, you're on the line. Hello. Hello. 7169, caller. Will you press one? You put your hand up. Where you at? 7169? All right. Well, we're going to assume. No, we ain't going to assume shit. I guess 7169 decided they didn't want to talk. They answered that other call, or they had a bathroom break. So, well, you missed your chance. Press one again. So, you just heard Chase Baker, and that was Stay Scheming. I played that for you, Baltimore Sun, because you was digging, you was grooving off the intro. So I said,
yeah, that's the only right
number
there.
One. Yeah, that joint right there, I definitely like that. And it's funny, we were talking about a situation earlier online about women and, you know, their sometimes unrealistic approach to dealing with men, and I say that because there were several points in Chase Baker's song just now, Stay Scheming, where he was talking about chicks and, you know, how they do that, you know, and I think it's a shame, and this is just me personally, I mean, I think it's a shame that we don't give a certain demographic of men the props that they deserve. And that's those men that, you know, have, that are fallen, whether it was by choice. You know, there are some people that, unfortunately, they don't find out their dad till after the fact, you know, and some time goes on, you know, some time goes by. There are dads that, you know, want to be dads, want to be fathers, and they're not allowed to because of whatever their situation is with the woman. And, you know, some people look at those guys as, I guess you could say, some type of damaged goods. That's exactly how
right.
people are talking. Like, they're not worthy. You know, they're not worthy of being in society anymore. And I think that's wrong. I think that's foul. I think there's nothing wrong with a man having children or several children. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, have as many as you can take care of.
You know, the crazy part is, like, when I hear girls say stuff like that, I'm sitting here thinking, like, I got three kids, you know what I'm saying? I got a daughter, two sons with my wife. So if me and my wife were separated, just saying, hypothetically speaking, if I was divorced, I still have three kids. That fact is going to remain. But I know what type of man I am. You know what I'm saying?
And then you got
these women chasing material things. They'll take a dude with no kids and money, but treat them like shit.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? Like I'm not here to impress nobody. I'm just gonna be me. And what you see is what you get. And I know what type of person I am. So I don't need validation from nobody saying, "Oh, you know what I mean." So that's on them. I just look at it like it's their loss.
Yeah, and which
they
I totally
fairy
agree with. Right,
and
it's
most
a shame.
Of them, you know, still single. You still ain't found a man with no kids yet? Damn.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And I'm not going to say that they're not out there. There are some men. I know some men that are in their late 40s, early 50s, and they don't have any children yet. You know, because men
right.
can reproduce in their 70s, 80s. You guys can still have children. So, I mean, you know, but why shun them? And why treat them as if they're not a viable part of society just because they have children? Okay, so maybe they, you know, some men don't have, you know, are not married when they have their kids. I have a friend right now who has four children with this woman, and he has proposed to her several times, and she just does not want to be married. She believes,
right.
you know, from what she's grown up, what she was exposed to with her parents, you know, she said, yeah, my parents were married. That didn't mean it was a happy home. You know, they didn't sleep together. They slept in separate rooms. Whenever they were around each other, it was an argument. You know, we couldn't go anywhere without them, you know, getting into some shit. So it wasn't a situation where that particular union was conducive to the well-being of the children. So, I mean,
right.
you know, so she's under, so now her thing is the last thing she wants to do is get married because according to her, that she thinks that would damage the relationship. She thinks everything is fine just the way it is. While I understand her, I understand her point, I understand where she's coming from, I also understand my homeboy's point because he is actually a brother that's out here trying to, you know, do the right thing as a family man.
Right.
You know, as a family man, I guess you could say what they say in old school, you know, he's trying to make an honest woman out of her, you know,
right.
but she chooses not to do that. So is that his fault? That's not his fault. You know, that's not his fault. So, I mean, you know, so in the event that she says, you know what, I'm going to walk away from this or whatever, and we still got these kids, but he's still a good man. So.
Right.
Why would you turn your back on that? Why wouldn't you not get a chance, you know, give this man an opportunity to show you what a decent person he is, regardless of how many damn kids he got? Stop worrying about your time. Like, oh, he ain't going to have no time for me. How selfish is that? How selfish is that? And this is the thing, too. This is why I say you never know where your blessings come from, is it pays to be good to people, period. Because you never know who knows who. You never know when you may need this particular person's help further on down the line. You never know what they can do for you. A bum in the street My girlfriend does construction. I'm going to tell this quick story before I get into maybe another one or two joints before we end the show for the evening. But my girlfriend does works in construction, and she's out there right now working in Staten Island by the Verrazano Bridge. And she said there was this white woman that lived in a trailer, right? And they had to remove the trailer off the property. You got to pardon me. It's mad noise outside the studio. All right, so they had to get the woman to leave the premises, to leave the trailer, get off the property, so they can continue on with their construction work. So they found out, they went in the trailer, you know, they found out, you know, she was a hoarder, there was cats, birds, she had rabbits, you know, gerbils, frogs, she had all types of shit in this cabin, right? So come to find out, this woman owns, you hear what I said? This woman owns several properties out in Staten Island, at least two or three of them multi-million-dollar properties. But yet and still she chooses to live as a beggar. So what does that tell you about prejudging people and making assumptions based off of spending a few minutes with someone or off of the assumption of their appearance, you know?
You can't do it.
You can't.
Like, I have a story. Like when I was in Japan, and we was putting our hip hop crew together. We had two MCs, we had two producers, and one of the dudes that was an MC also was a producer. So I had a homeboy that was over there from Chicago. He you know, him and Kanye grew up together or whatever, and he was saying, you know, he wanted to be down because he was making the kind of music we was making. So one of the dudes at this particular time, he was like a real arrogant dude, and he was like, "Yo, we got enough people in the group. We don't need nobody else." So I was like, "Look, I'm an MC. I take all the dope producers in the world if I could, you know." So it's my man. So I go back and I told him I'm not about to make up no excuses for nobody. I told him what the dude said, right? So the funny part was Kanye had came over to Tokyo like a couple months later. And the funny part is the man that was in my crew was like, "Yo, I seen your boy. He carried me." I was like, "What happened?" So he goes to explain how he was trying to get into the backstage or whatever, the VIP, and chill with Kanye and everything. He was like, and old dude saw him and just looked at him and turned his head. I was like, so I told him, I said, "I would have did the same thing too." He said, "Why you say that?" I said, "You told this dude you ain't want to do music with him. You ain't want him in your group." He was like, "Oh, you told him that?" I said, "That's what you said, right?" Like, now he in the position. You know what I'm saying? You can't just be swerving people like that. You know, and I know it's something, you know, different from relationships, but still, like, this man right here, he look at you and like, "Yo, forget you."
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't just treat people any kind of way. It's like you said, you don't know who's who or who knows what. Or who can help you in your career or anything.
Right, right. And that's the main thing. You never know where, like I said, you never know where your blessing may come from. And it's about establishing relationship, productive relationships. It's about, you know, establishing and maintaining relationships with people that, you know, are like-minded or, you know, are in support of what it is that you're doing. They have your vision. You know, or they're going along the same path. They travel in the same way. So, you know, that's why I said I can learn from anybody. I can learn from a child. Okay?
Right.
People like to push children off, brush children off, and be like, "Oh, they don't know nothing." But people forget children are the purest. They're the closest to coming from the ethers, from where we don't even remember where we came from. So they're still connected. They're still tapped in. So when children see things, it behooves you. You know, it behooves you to pay attention. So I mean, but you know, both my son and I learned too. A lot of people sometimes are just not ready for certain information, or they're not ready to make certain transformations, or to do certain things, or to receive certain knowledge. They're just not at that point. So you know, take what you could take from it and leave the rest alone. If not, if you ain't ready, you just ain't ready. And like I said, unfortunately, a lot of times some people aren't mature enough to see things in more than third dimension, you know, in more than 2D, you know, in more than 2D. You got to have vision. You got to see beyond, above and beyond. But it's your girl, Ev. this is pregame radio, and we chopping it up. We playing a little music. We having a little discussion, and I don't know where the rest of the pregame staff is, because some of you guys are such babies. I'm not going to call out any names because I don't want you texting Black, talking about why Airboy Radio saying we don't call it, because you don't. Pick up the slack. Your boss is not able to be here now, so now's the time for you to shine. You're supposed to come through with whatever your special talent or specialty is, and you're supposed to carry on that part of the show. Like I said, I'm not going to call no names, but you know who you are, and I'm looking at the screen, and I see you up there. I'm not even clicking on your name now. But what we will do is we will take this caller real quick. Area code 804, last four digits 3388. You're on the line with Evan Baltimore's son. Who's calling?
Hey, Ev. What's going on, bro?
Hey, what's going on? Caller, please identify yourself and where you calling from.
I'm Gregory from Richmond, Virginia.
All right. Greg from Richmond, Virginia.
DMV in the building.
All right. That's what's going on. So what's good? What you getting into this evening?
Oh, man, I ain't doing nothing. My shift starts at 12 o'clock. You know, I got a text from the boss saying that y'all was on tonight.
A text from my boss. Check him out.
Yeah. I'm special. Yeah, I called him last week to see if y'all was on, but he said that through certain circumstances that y'all weren't going to be able to get on.
Yeah, we weren't on last Friday, but we did do a show last Saturday, so, you know, and we will do a show tomorrow, like I said earlier before you called in. One monkey don't stop no show. We still going to bang it out. And play the music that the people want to hear and do what we need to do, you know. But I'm so glad that you gave us a call. How long have you been rocking out with pregame radio? And before you answer that, you know, it's crazy that my boss, that's funny, my boss has been texting and communicating with other people, and I have yet to hear from him. I find that to be remarkable. But anyway.
Wow. And so did I in the beginning, you know, but through circumstances, you know, some people might feel like they want to be alone right now.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave it at that. But, Gregory from Virginia, thank you so much for calling in, and, your shift is starting in about 40 minutes, please. Stay tuned to Pregame Radio. We're going to rock out for a few more minutes, play a couple of more hits. Do you have any song you would like to hear in particular?
No. I'm just here to listen to what y'all got on this evening.
All right. Well, since since the show wasn't pre-planned like it usually is by our esteemed founer, Brooklyn Black, who usually does all the technical work. He gets the input and he downloads the songs, but since he hasn't been able to do that, we've more or less been playing pre-game roulette. So what I've been doing is I've been scrolling the screen and letting it go just like the wheel on The Price is Right. Okay,
I've been doing that.
So I've been doing that, and whatever we land on, that's what I'm playing. So I'm going to do that now. And Gregory from Virginia, this is what I want you to do. I'm hitting the screen as we speak. I want you to tell me when to stop, and I'm going to stop it, and that's what we're going to play. So here we go.
Waiting on you. Stop.
Okay. Stop. Wow, isn't this something? You want to know what we stopped on?
What'd you stop on?
We stopped on Destiny's Child, 8 Days of Christmas. I don't know whose bright idea it was to put that song, but I'm going to assume that was a part of the holiday extravaganza show.
Can we roll the dice again?
Okay? On the count of three, I'm going to be rolling the dice, and then after that, you tell me when to stop, okay? Here we go. One, two, three. Dice is rolled. This is a pleasant surprise. We stopped on Digital Underground, same song. Oh. I like this. This is one of the joints that Tupac was on before he came out as Thug Pac. Okay? So here you have it. Thank you, Gregory from Virginia, for calling in and listening to Pregame Radio 347-857-4302. It is your girl, Ev. You're on the line with Gregory from Virginia and Baltimore Sun. It is 11:24. We might as well just keep rocking out. So what are we about to play? What are we about to play, Greg? What are we playing?
We're playing Digital Underground.
There you go. Same song.
Been all around the world. Been all around the world.
I came for the party to get naughty, get my rocks on, eat popcorn, watch you move your body to the pop song that I'm singing, ding-a-linging, funky beats ringing, everybody swinging in the place as I kick the J's, easy wop style, R&B mixing it with the hip-hop swing beat, champagne in my hand, it won't be long till I'm gone, it's just the same old song.
It's just a freestyle, meanwhile we keep the beat kicking, sweat dripping, girlies in the limo eating chicken, oops, forget the grease on your pantyhose, I love you, Rover, move over, I gotta blow my nose, sneezing, but still I'm pleased. In all of Slimmy, pull out my Jimmy. Time to get busy with a Jenny. It's a 2020, don't you know? There I go. But I don't go nowhere without my gym hat. What I'm rapping is if you're stopping, then I'm stopping, cause I'm smarter than that. And then, girlie, maybe we can get along. Cutie after cutie, it's just the same old song.
It's just the same old song, y'all. It's just the same old song. down. Well, as a matter of fact, I'll be right back. I gotta take a leak. So I'm draining, entertaining. But I got fame and the bases I've touched. Too much for me to try to be naming. Hey yo, he saw me on cable and grinning. I busted in and I was going to win. Like Clark Gable back in Oakland, it's the same old song. For 40 shorty, same freckles and hack, drinking the same Ford.
Hypothetical, political, lyrical, miracle whip. Just like butter, my rhymes are legit. Cause I'm a Humpty, not Humpty Dumpty, but Humpty Hump. Here a hump, there a hump, everywhere a Humpty Hump.
Shut up and just listen, not dissing, don't get me wrong. But to me it's just the same old song. So just watch, cause my name is Shock, I like to rock and you can't stop this. Tupac, go ahead and rock this.
Now I clown around when I hang around with the underground. Girls used to clown, say I'm down when I come around. Gas me, and when they pass me, they used to diss me, harass me. But now they ask me if they can kiss me. Get the fame, people change, wanna live in life high. Same song can't go wrong if I play the nice guy.
Claim the fame must have changed now that we became strong.
I remain still the
why
same,
too?
Cause it's the same song.
I thought I was bagging when I caught a buzz. I'm thinking about how short I was. Go going too fast, I wouldn't last, but yo, I couldn't tell. Group homes and institutions prepared my for jail. They put me in a situation forcing me to be a man when I was just learning to stand without a helping hand. Damn, was it my fault, something I did to make a father leave his first kid at 7 doing my first bid? Back on the scene at 14, wrote a scheme to get more green than I'd ever seen in a dream. And by all means, I will be living high off the hog. And I never gave a fuck about much but my dog. That's the only I'd head off in my last. Just another look, come on, headed nowhere fast.
Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can kiss. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can kiss.
That ain't the half. Arrogance gets worse as I get older. Actions become bolder. Heart got cold, chip on my shoulder that I didn't did touch. Didn't need a click cause I scared it that much. One deep with the starting for kicks, catching Vicks, throwing bricks, getting by, being slick. Used to get high just to get by, used to have to fall in the morning before I could fly. I ate something, couple of 40s made me hate something. After some hurt, now I'm ready to take some. 3 years later showing signs of stress. Didn't keep my hair cut or give a fuck how I dress. I'm possessed by the darker side, living the cruddy life. Like this, kept with a bloody knife. Wanna make records, but I'm hooked up. Slipping, I'm falling, can't get up.
Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can kiss. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up.
Wasn't long before I hit rock bottom. Like damn, look how that got open like a window, no more endo. Look at a video, say to myself that could've been yo. It's on the TV, believe me, could be done. Something got to give, got to change, cause now I got a son. I got to do the right thing for shorty, and that means no more getting high, drinking 40. So I get back, looking tight, slick again. Fake, jump back on my again. Nothing but love for those that know how it feel. And much respect to all my kept it real. Be strong, kept it from doing wrong. Who they is, and this is your song. And to my boo, who stuck with it, I do. All the fools, you get yours, because you do.
Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can kiss. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. Hey yo, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I got to get up. Get back on my feet so I can kiss.
What's up, people? You're listening to Pregame Radio. It's your host, Eb, 347-857-4302, August 8th, Saturday, 2014. The time is now 11:37. And that was DMX Slippin', one of my favorite joints of his. I mean, you can't tell me that you've gone completely through your life and at some point haven't experienced any of the stuff that he was just talking about. And that's all. We all get our moments when we get down, when we just get down sometimes on one knee, but you got to get the strength to get up off that knee and get back out there and do what you need to do. And so I dedicate that to our board, to you other people's boards, because he ain't the boss of me. But our president and founder, Brooklyn Black. Now, you see, When did that song come out? That song came out like in 98, right? 98, 99?
Man, that's crazy. I just posted that yesterday on my throwback joints. I was like, that's one of my favorite songs from X.
Yo, are you serious?
Yeah, I just posted the video on my wall yesterday.
Wow, I ain't even see that. Yeah. Now I got to go over there and go like
I was like, this is that song you heard when you was like, money going to really change his life around this time.
Yeah. And it was like, but you know what? We have to understand, too, that everybody's spirit comes down here. We all have our own journey, our own lessons to learn, whatever work we got to come down here and do. And, you know, even though we may feel bad for him or, you know, we may be like, damn, X, you know, get it together. He's doing, you know, he's doing his work. He's doing his work, and it doesn't take away. And none of that negative shit he does can take away from how gifted this man is musically. He's just one of those who, like we said, this joint is like, what, 14 years old almost?
Yeah.
Come on, and it's still relevant.
Yeah.
And it's still relevant, and it's still one of them joints that when it come on, you hear it, and you're like, oh, that's my shit. This is one of those joints that when you're a creative person, sometimes you hit an impasse. Sometimes you get blocked. You're just blocked for whatever reason. You can't focus your thoughts or you can't carry on with the work that you're doing. This is one of those joints that you hear this and it's like, all right, this will get you back in the right frame of mind to do whatever it is that you need to do. You know?
Absolutely.
So, and before that was that shit I cut off, that DJ Khaled shit. Oh, my God. As soon as I heard Rick Ross' voice, I was like, whoa, I'm in the twilight zone. Where am I? Nah. We got to judge this shit. And look, and when Black ain't looking, I'm going to delete that. Look, I'm just going to start deleting random joints out the library that just like, you know, I'm not a, you know, I liked a couple of DJ Khaled joints, but on the whole, he doesn't do it for me really as a DJ. You know, he just doesn't.
Right.
And with that, I don't know if it was for attention or, you know, if he was actually serious, but when I saw that proposal thing he did to Nicki Minaj, I'm just like, oh, this dude is whack. He done lost it, and I can't even rock with him. You know, I can't even rock out with him no more. But before we go, since I have two men on the line, I'm curious to know how you guys, because we haven't discussed this. We haven't had a actual pregame show where we had, you know, people on. We just have been playing music for the last couple of shows. But and now that it's, you know, the actual event is over and we're getting into the part of where the investigators or, you know, the prosecutors, they're doing what they need to do. How do you feel about the whole Eric Garner incident? And in case you don't remember, Eric Garner is the young guy that just recently lost his life due to a police chokehold out in Staten Island, and he had asthma and stuff. They threw him to the ground, and he died from that. So as Black men, how does this make you feel?
I tell you how I feel. I posted when that happened, I never see videos of Black officers killing white civilians or beating them down. So some dude told me people only post what they want you to see. I said, you mean to tell me there's never nobody white around with a camera when Black police officers are harassing white, you know, white civilians? It's always one way. You never see it the other way. And unfortunately, he gone, but they need to sue the hell. You know, they need to sue the hell out of that police department because that dude wasn't doing nothing. He wasn't posing a threat. He was just standing there. You know what I'm saying? They took him down, and that chokehold, like, you know I'm in law enforcement. And they don't teach you that move nowhere in no police academy that you ever look to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like some other shit that he, you know, that's like some move he put on that dude. And then, you know, he's saying, I can't breathe. And he's fighting or nothing, you know. And, you know, so, yeah, they ain't nothing going to happen to them, I'm sure. The family will get paid, and that'll be it.
Well, according to the medical examiner, they have deemed it a homicide. So now it's up to the DA and the prosecutor to decide on exactly what charges they're going to file against the officers because they suspended them, and they also suspended the EMTs who came on the scene, you know, because the EMTs work directly, you know, they work for the fire department out here in New York. They work for the fire department. They're under their tutelage. So it's like, you know, these weren't even, you know, this is not even cops. You're working for the fire department. You're EMS, so you're supposed to come in and assess the situation and treat the patient, you know, accordingly. And they, you know, they got there late. They got there like 8 minutes after. And then he wasn't treated. He wasn't given any oxygen. You know, they were bullshitting around, taking his pulse. But like I told people, if you really look at the video, that man was already dead. That man didn't die in the hospital. That man was dead on the sidewalk in front of that beauty supply store. And, you know, regardless of him being an imposing figure, and that's what the thing is, and this all starts back from times, from days of slavery, is that the black man has always been an imposing figure to other people. He's intimidating. You know, just in his blackness alone, just being black, is intimidation enough for these people. And I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, there are some people, there are a lot of people coming back from armed services, and they fucked up in their head. Their mind's not right. Their mind's not right. And the first thing they do is they go and they become police officers. They go and they become correction officers. They go and they become state troopers. You're going from being trained to kill an enemy. You're being trained to kill, to take the life of someone, someone's whatever. That's what you're trained for. And then you come back and you don't see civilians. You see the enemy. And so you treat, and so we get treated according to this. A lot of soldiers are suffering from PTSD, and a lot of times they don't get the proper treatment or the help that they need, and they're able to pass these psychological evaluations, you know. And it's sad because they come and they're in our neighborhoods. And on top of that, a lot of these young guys, especially these young white guys, you're coming from a suburban neighborhood where the crime, the atmosphere, even the language, the lingo is not the same. They don't know it. They're not familiar with it. This is some hard shit. You come from the suburbs and then you come to New York and you see what goes on out here, and it's culture shock. It's culture shock. So now you got these kids with guns, with legal guns and a badge, and they've been giving this. They've been told that, yeah, you're here, you're the authority. You know, you're the authority. You can tell that motherfucker, hey, you, come over here, empty your pockets. You, spread your legs. You, up against the wall. So you're giving them this type of power, whereas most likely as they grew up, they didn't have no power whatsoever. Most likely they were trying to get bullied. Okay? So now they have this.
Most people don't know their rights.
Right. Okay?
You know what I mean?
Now they have this false sense of security, right? And then where do they put them? They put them in urban neighborhoods. You want to deal with urban crime, you need cops from urban areas that grew up in urban, not living here now, because the cost of living is a little cheaper than they shishi foo-foo place over there in Long Island, okay? Now the taxes are too high, you want to come back to the city, okay? So, no, we're not talking about, we're talking about officers that were born and raised in the projects, jumped in the hydrant in the summer, you know, may have thrown a couple of eggs at the bus on Halloween. This is the type of people you need to come in and be a part of an urban community, because they know it. They know the people. They know the style. They know the lingo. They know how things go. They know how the street works. You can't bring these kids in from the suburb who, after 18, they went straight to the Army, they went straight to armed forces, you sent them over the fuck to Iraq or wherever you sent them to, and they've murdered men, women, and children, and then you can't expect them to come back and, like, be able to leave that at the door. It just doesn't happen, and it's being carried over in that aggressiveness. Because that's what I'm seeing. These police are very, very aggressive, and they don't want to give you a chance. They're not giving you a chance. They're not finding out what's going on. They're shooting first and asking questions later. And unfortunately, they're putting them, like I said, in these urban environments, in the neighborhoods, in the jungles, in the hardest neighborhoods, not so much where there's such a hard criminal element, but just that this is just, that's just the type of neighborhood that that is. You know, there are certain places that myself right now, and I'm just as Brooklyn as anybody could possibly get, but there are certain places in Brooklyn where I'm not going to, I know I got to have my game face on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that I don't get tested, because the person, people will test you, okay?
Right.
They will test you. So you got to have a certain look about you. You got to carry yourself in a certain way with a certain demeanor. It doesn't mean that you out there looking for trouble or you trying to be, you know, you just making sure
that
you let people
like you
know.
Say, so people don't come from where we from. Like, I was in Walmart late one night. This was about 2 years ago. I was going to get a book bag. I was about to make a move down south, and I had just left my brother's house. It was probably like around 12 o'clock at night. So I walk in, and it's this dude. He's standing by the cash registers on the inside aisle part. You know, he had his little fatigue pants on or whatever, and he's looking at me. So I'm like, well, you know, I ain't been home in a while. Sometimes it be people that I know I don't recognize because the streets done beat them up so bad. But
right.
I can tell him that, you know, like in a split second if I know you or not. So he just, like, looking at me like he mean mugging me. I was like, what's up? And he, like, just turned his head and, you know, and looked the other way and walked out. But I was like, you never know. That might have been some dude sizing me up. He's like, yeah, we got one. I get outside, him and his dude, you know what I'm saying? They try to get me or something. They be like, no, we might as well get the next nigga because he on top of his game.
Exactly.
And it was real weird. I was just like, what's up? Like, you know, threw my head up in the air and was like, what's up? Like, you know me or something, yo? And he just turned his head and looked the other way and walked off. I was like, yeah, all right. Try me if you want to. You're going to be laid out this joint.
Right, because he figured, exactly, because he figured, all right, this ain't the one to mess with. This ain't going to be easy, you know?
Right.
Gregory,
you know,
you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Blah.
Gregory, So tell me how you feel about, you know, your feelings too about this Eric Garner, since, you know, situation.
Man, you know, that's a real crazy situation. You know, that stuff is going on all over the country. You
right.
know, police brutality. They take
mm-hmm.
they're taking that to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
A level where I came up to. You know, man, it's just a crazy situation how the police treat people. You know, they're supposed to be there to protect and serve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not kill and maim. You know, and
right. Good point.
These cops, like you said, you know, they get out of high school. They go straight into the Army, either the Marines, you know, or the Army, and they go to Iraq or Iran, and they kill innocent women and children, you know, and then they come back home suffering with PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of them are not really diagnosed with PTSD until something horrific really happens.
Right.
And then that's the excuse to get out of the situation. You know, he suffers from PTSD. You know,
good
so
point.
So he's not responsible for what he did. You know. Yeah.
Plus
right.
No one's only never been nothing. Oh, they ain't been a military, nothing. Just been chumps all their life. Now they police, they got a badge and a gun, and they think they tough. Trust me, I work
yeah.
with these people every day. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
And plus, like, when the news are put out there, they suspend it. If they don't say suspended without pay, they ain't doing nothing but on vacation. Because I done had coworkers under investigation for stuff. They've been out for a year. You don't see them. You think they lose their job, they come back. While they out, while they suspended, they getting paid, and they accrue and leave. So, you know, you don't know what the outcome going to be until, you know, it's over. But if you don't get jammed up, you had a free vacation. You
right.
was off
yeah.
of work for however long it took. You're getting paid, and you're still building up your vacation hours. And you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And that's just,
so it
turns
out like,
you know,
ain't nothing really happening.
Right, right.
Yep.
That's what they're saying with this officer, that he's still getting paid. And what's going to happen is the family is going to sue like they rightfully should, you know, because no amount of money in the world is going to bring back this father, this grandfather, this brother, this son. Nothing can bring him back. He was a grandfather,
right?
Also, you know, nothing can bring him back. So they're going to sue. They're going to win. They're going to get their money. But see, now the burden of not having taken the proper steps to make sure that you got the right people on the job, now it's going, the burden of this is going to be on the backs of the taxpayers.
Yep.
Okay, the burden of this, because where else is the city going to get that money from? They're not going to get it from the officer. He ain't got that money.
Yeah,
and most likely he will be allowed, and yes, he's suspended, but guess what? He's probably still doing his little moonlighting job at the titty bar, or, you know, like you said, at Walmart or one of these other little bullshit stores. You know, he's still getting paid. He's still getting paid. So exactly what message are you sending? And it's going to be, it's really going to be a problem, because despite all of this, despite the numerous videos that are surfacing showing police brutality, especially against black men, but just against people in general, you know, just the total lack of that they have of respect for the regular man, the common man. They have the police department, the PBA, the Police Benevolent
Association,
which is, you know, the cops union, more or less. They're saying, see, usually they say, well, you know what, we're going to sit back, we're going to see what happens, we're going to work closely with the prosecutor, whatever. Their stance at this time is, oh, the mayor should get behind the cops. You know, the mayor shouldn't have, you know, made statements, you know, that alluded to the fact that, you know, this could possibly have been a homicide, or that the officer could have been in the wrong. He's supposed to stand behind the police department. And what's crazy is, I don't know if you guys have saw it. I'm going to also see if I can find that video online. But there's a video of an officer out here in New York from the 79th precinct, which is the precinct that covers the area that I am, where he showed the utmost respect and courtesy. This is a black officer, and the person was a Jewish man. And apparently the Jewish guy was double parked. The officer asked him to please, you know, move your vehicle. You're double parked. You can't stay here. The Jewish guy, as most Jewish men do, believe that they don't have to talk to a black person, that a black person can't tell them anything. They don't have to listen to them or obey anything they said, even though this man was in full dress, in his full cop uniform, okay, badge, hat, everything, nightstick, gun, mace, all of that. And so what the officer did was say, listen, I need you to step out the vehicle. This Jewish guy got very belligerent, got on his phone. He had one of his friends videotaping the whole thing. He got on his phone, and he's calling his people, and he's saying, this cop is trying to arrest me,
what you doing?
And I didn't do nothing.
My niece has got a radio show on the
What you
saying? He's telling the guy, you know, I'm not getting out my vehicle. And the cop is like, sir, you know, you're under arrest, you know, come to the front of your vehicle, move yourself a bit. The guy wouldn't do it. The cop is grabbing his arm, trying to pull him out, and he's pulling away from the cop. He's pushing the cop off of him. He's calling his lawyer on the phone, has his guy on speaker. He's telling people, yeah, this cop is trying to get me. And meanwhile, he's telling the cop, I'm not getting out of my car. I don't have to get out of my car. You're not arresting me. You have no right to arrest me. Call for backup. Okay? Now, what that basically translates to is, get me a white cop, because I'm not trying to deal with you. I don't have to listen to you. You can't tell me what to do. You can't what to say. The black cop was very patient with him. He was like, listen, if you don't get out, I'm going to mace you. I'm going to pepper spray you. Get out of your vehicle. Come to the front of your vehicle. I'm putting you under arrest.
But what was he putting him under arrest for? Because he was double parked?
Because the man refused to move his vehicle.
Oh, well, that's the thing, though, Like, legally, he can't arrest them for that. You can tow the vehicle. But, like, that's why, like, when our black brothers, like, when I be riding around and I see the police had them pulled over, and they got them sitting on the curb, and they searching their car. I was like, only if they knew that right, yo, it wouldn't even be going on. Like,
right.
You just towed a
right.
car, but you can't make me get out my car. No, get out your car for what? What am I getting out my car for? Because you're under arrest. Why? Because you double parked. No, you towed my car. If you double parked or you parked illegally, the police not waiting for you to get back so they can lock you up. They towing your
right.
car. So
right.
he knew his, like, at that point, he was wrong. Like, and I'm like, yo, don't put your hands on me. Don't touch me. You, like, you don't have the right to touch me, even if you are a police officer. But we don't know our rights, though.
Right.
Dudes be on the block, they be so scared. They like, oh, well, you know, I got it on me. I let them search the car, then he end up getting jammed up. I'm like, yo, I wish you would pull me over because my taillight was out and you searching my damn car. You out your mind.
Right. Now that's a bit extreme.
You know?
That is
but
definitely
as far
extreme.
As him being disrespectful and everything, that's a whole other situation. You know what I mean? But legally, probably why the guy was being so patient, I mean, I haven't seen it. You know, is because he really couldn't lock him up. Like police used to tell you all the time, you lucky, you want to go to jail? I say, if you could lock me up, you would. So don't act like you're doing me no favor. That's why I used to tell him, I was a young boy, like, don't act like you're doing me no favor. If you could lock me up, trust me, I'd be in jail.
Right, right. True indeed.
You know
what
I'm saying? But
I'm
we
going,
gotta
like I said,
educate
I'm gonna,
ourselves.
I'm going to make sure that I find this video and
yeah,
that I tag you in it. But see, the point of it was is that, like you made an earlier statement, that you don't see any video of black cops beating up, killing, or maiming
right.
white people. And what this
and that's
was
the best
was,
they can get was his boy acting like an asshole when the cop was being professional.
Right. Right. And
right.
So the guy, and the thing is, the cop, like I said, was being very patient with him. And he was giving him an opportunity, you know, he was saying, listen, give me your license and registration. He's trying to get the guy to be compliant, and the guy just outright refused. It's like, you know,
right.
why are you talking to me? And regardless of the fact, you know, granted, they can't search your vehicle, they can't arrest you, there's certain things. There are some things that you should be compliant with. You know, there's some things you should be compliant with. The moral of the story is, had this Jewish guy been a black guy, he would have been yanked out the car. He'd have been thrown to the ground. The windshield and the driver's side window all would have
been
busted out. You know, they would have did all of these things. You know,
right.
and this is what was crazy. How often do you see police allow other black people to come and get involved in what's going on? How often do you see the police allow black people to run up to their car and stick their head in and say, what are you doing? Where are you taking him? You know, Shmooly, be cool. We got you. We coming to the precinct. These guys were, you know, they basically got in the police face like, nah, y'all wrong. They were standing in front of the car trying to block the car from pulling off.
Wow, yeah, if it's black, they always try to talk about, back away or you going to jail, back up.
Right. Uh-huh. I need you guys to really see this because what I saw was a united front that we are always lacking. This is why we always getting fucked up.
Yeah, tag me in that when you find
that. Huh?
Tag me in that definitely when you find that.
Well, I definitely am. I definitely am. As a matter of fact, we are about to end the show. It's 12:02. It is now Saturday, August 9th, and we will be doing another pregame show this evening from 10, your normal time from 10 to 12. I want to say thank you very much to Baltimore Sun. This is like the third or fourth time. Actually, I've lost track of you coming and holding me down in Black's absence. It is definitely appreciated, and I love you for it. Thank
family
you so
business
much.
All
word up. So thank you so much. I want to give a shout-out, too, to Greg from Virginia. Thank you
for calling in
and hanging out with us for a little while. I hope you get the opportunity to call in for tomorrow's show. Who knows what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to pull a rabbit out of my hat. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to make it happen. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you as well.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Hey, did you hear about the black lady that was shot in the face down here with a shotgun?
No, I did not. When was this?
Oh, this was last week. Her car broke down, so she went and knocked on somebody's door, and the guy had a shotgun.
Right, the young lady, right? The black girl.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You know what? Actually, I've been I've actually gone back and forth with a couple of yokels from the Bible Belt online about this because, of course, you know, they were saying it serves her right. She was drunk driving. She shouldn't have been banging on his door, blah, they blah. And I'm like, you know, in all reality, she didn't pose a threat to him because, number one, he didn't have to open the door.
Exactly.
Okay? He didn't have to open the door. He could have said, what's wrong? Okay, I'm calling for help. Have a seat. The police will be here soon. He never had to open his door. And if she meant him any ill will, do you actually think she would have been pounding on his door, which was bringing attention to herself, not just from him, but from the other surrounding homes? Is that what the person who intends to do you harm or to hurt you, kill you, stab you, rape you, rob you, is that what they do, bring attention to themselves? No, she would have been creeping around the back if she meant this man any ill will.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they actually convicted him, right, of murder?
I'm not sure yet. They're supposed to be still going to court.
No. I think they made a decision. If I'm correct, I saw it today. They made a decision. They found him guilty.
Okay.
They found him guilty. So, I mean, you know, that's just something that, and like I said, too, had it been, you know, a drunk white girl, he probably would have been like, okay, miss, you know, relax. You want a cup of coffee or something like that. You know, it's just that we, you know, we are constantly looked at as being less than human. And for people to say that racism does not exist or it isn't real or for us to get over it, racism is alive and well and it's shown, and people show you every day.
Yeah. And the crazy part, you seen that quote I posted today from the, I was watching the Education of Sonny Carson, and they had him in in the police station, and he was like, you want to know something? Your kind should be locked up from the day you were born. He's like, you want to know something? We are.
Exactly. It is, because from birth, and they'll tell you, and they'll even tell you that the black men, you know, that we're a danger in our own mother's womb. We're not safe, you know, and that just goes to show you the mentality. And unfortunately, there are so many of us who don't even realize the psychological damage from slavery times and how it is affecting us presently today. People don't realize how much of a Willie Lynch syndrome that they're suffering from. They really don't get it. They don't know. People like that, you know, you can try to educate them, but like I said, everybody's spirit is not ready for certain information. That's why you got to rock out with who you can rock out with, and everybody else, they got to get it in their own time, you know? But this has been a great show. Thank you, gentlemen, so much. In the words of our creator, what does he say? Fellas, don't be a fool. Wrap your tool. Ladies, don't fall for the scam. Protect your clam. And for all you guys hanging out tonight, don't drink and drive. Arrive alive. Be safe. This is your girl, Eb. This is Pregame Radio. We love you. We see you later on tonight, and peace.
All right. Peace.